Dan Dockage, weekdays noon to 3, host on 1070 The Fan and national basketball announcer for ESPN, joins us now. Dan, welcome, and thanks for taking time out of your busy March Madness schedule.
It's been busy, but this is fun, so thanks for having me on.
Fans know you today as a broadcaster, but you were first and foremost a player and a coach for a long time. Talk about how you first got into announcing and how you've evolved as an on-air personality.
Well, I got lucky. You know, you've been here, and when The Fan became The Fan and all the changes were made, Kent Sterling was involved in that. And I'm a friend of Kent's, and when Indiana didn't hire me, I called them that night, and I said, hey, you know, you always told me to call you, get into broadcasting. So I called them, and John, I got incredibly lucky. They were having a spot here, and it just worked. I mean, I came up, Mark Boyle and I did about a week's worth of sitting in, and Ken thought I'd be good for the job. So I got very, very lucky, and then from there I got incredibly lucky to get to ESPN. But right now, I've evolved. I think I'm smarter with staying on topic. I jump around a little bit before, I think, probably more, and maybe I'm a little smarter. And actually, I think I got smarter with how I prepare. I think for a while I was over-prepared trying to get all this different stuff in, and I realized, look, just study your stuff, know your stuff, and let it flow, and that's been a that's been much easier on me and probably easier on listeners.
You have very distinct roles between TV and radio. Talk about the differences between being a game commentator on television and a talk show host on radio.
Well, a game commentator is fun. It's like you're involved in the game. You get nervous before the game. I try to do it like I would a coach. I try to see things maybe that a fan can't see. You know, and I base that on 25 years or whatever I did as a coach. Radio is more about preparation. Radio is more about, okay, what's happened last night or what's happening in the local scene, and then going about figuring out kind of, you know, organizing it and putting it all together, and then understanding that it may get organic with phone calls or breaking news. Another difference for me is there's a six-second delay on radio, so if I screw up, there's a delay. On TV, there's no delay, so I have to be very, very careful as much as I swear. So I'm trying. It's an ongoing battle on TV that isn't there on radio.
Well, you keep it real, though, on radio as well. I mean, you have found creative ways to catch yourself even with that delay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying. You know, as an adult, you should be able to watch your mouth. I mean, that shouldn't be an issue. But keeping it real, you know, to me, that's not really an issue. To me, it's just, you know, they told me I'm obviously not hired here because of some great extensive radio background. I'm obviously not hired because of winning 5 national championships. I figure I'm hired to give my opinion in a way that and maybe insight that people can't understand. I can't understand. So I kind of feel like, well, that's who I am anyway, so let's just do it that way.
People seem to relate to you very well on radio. There's an intimacy and a connection that exists.
I hope so. I mean, it seems that way. You know, I can't stand listening to myself. I don't even ever want to hear my voice, so I don't know why. But it seems like people do. I've always thought that, you know what, in Indiana, if you try to BS people, they're going to see right through it. I mean, look, this isn't California where everybody's trying to be something they're not. This is Indiana where we are who we are, and we're proud of who we are. So I've always felt like that the best method is just to simply say what you mean what you say, and work it out from there.
And you do that on some topics that are beyond sports, too. You're not afraid to take on something, you know, whether it's causes like Josh Spidell or quitting tobacco, or even talking about gun control or family values and male leadership. You're not afraid to say what's on your mind. How do you walk that tightrope to be still a sports commentator without becoming a social advocate?
Yeah, that's, you know, I don't do it often, just when something piques my interest. Now, right now with the new legislation in Indiana, I've been gone, so I haven't had time to look at it, but I'm guessing at some point I'll look at it and I'll say, all right, you know, I think this or that. I mean, this is going to sound odd, but there are certain role models that I have, and one of them is Colin Cowherd. I think he's fantastic. Another one's Bob and Tom. I looked at what Bob and Tom did early. They were involved in a couple of things that I think really made them popular around here. One, they gave a lot back. They had different things going on where they rewarded listeners for listening, and I thought that's a part of our deal. And the other thing is they stood up for certain issues that, you know, maybe it was a publicity stunt, maybe it wasn't. I really don't know, but it worked for me. And so that's kind of how I when I got into this, I'm like, all right, what works for people? And one of the things that works for people is talking about things that are big enough topics of conversation to generate conversation. And gun control is one of them. I think family, fatherhood are another. And it's also something I'm kind of passionate about.
Media consumption continues to evolve and change, and you have a big following on social media, and Twitter is also very important to the radio station as well. How does social media and Twitter mirror what radio's been good at, and how does it help extend the conversation?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, it enables me to get out to, I think we have 94,000 or 95,000 followers. I mean, what we have on the show, I think different things from the show as we tweet out during the show. This guy said, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, Bo Ryan said on my show that Trey Jackson, their starting point guard who had been hurt, had practiced. Well, I got a bunch of media calling me saying, hey, can we send the audio? Did you really? And I think, obviously, social media helps with that because I tweeted it out that Bo Ryan said this. The greatest thing for me personally with Twitter isn't what I tweet. It's what I get to read. All I have to do in the morning is wake up, go to the various Twitter follows that I have, and whether it's Greg Doyle at the Star, his articles posted by him on Twitter, or a national guy or whomever, it's right there for me. And then the other aspect of Twitter is you can keep the conversation from the show going throughout the evening if you're that bored, which normally I am, outside of basketball season. So if you want to keep a conversation going, and I do it sometimes just to gauge what the interest would be for continuing the conversation the next day on the show. So it would be one thing for me to be the curmudgeon guy and say, I'm not getting involved in that. As for young kids, that would just be stupid. But you have to walk a tight line. Colin Cowherd said one time, you can get fired for Twitter and you can't make much money off it. So, keeping that thought in mind in my world is really important.
Last question is about sponsors. They're the lifeblood to what we do, and without them, there are no broadcasts, right? So you've been involved through Play-by-Play and your show through the years now on lots of different ways in engaging sponsors, whether weaving them into game broadcasts or into your show. From your perspective, what works well and why, from a business being involved with sports radio, and then associating with Dan Dockage?
Well, I think this, I use the products that I'm talking about. I'm trying to think if there's ever been something, whether it's a restaurant that I didn't go to before or really like. I mean, with a lot of our salespeople, they just want to know what do you like. And I mean, I'm like every other guy. Yeah, I like a nice bed, a hot tub if you have it, decent food. I mean, so Mike Tirico gave me the best compliment I've ever gotten is Tirico said, you literally do the best live reads for our sponsors that I've ever heard in my life. He goes, you legitimately care. And I do, and I'll tell you why. I'm smart enough to look around and realize that the salespeople here make money based on sponsorships. So I need to do a good job for the salespeople here, because they've got kids, their livelihood is affected by it. So if I get up there and go through it half whatever, that doesn't help anybody. So what's so hard about sitting down and talking about a Four Winds Resort and Marina, a place that I legitimately really like to go, or talking about HH Gregg, a place that I've been going since 1986, and that's all true. So I just I think it would be easy to be annoyed, and maybe that's the radio thing, being, oh, I've got to read this. What's so hard about it? Number one, it's easy. Number two, it helps out yourself and other people.
Another case of Dan Dockage keeping it real.
Keeping it real, baby.
Dan Dockage, 1070 The Fan and ESPN. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, John. Thank you.